Chapter 5 Anakin reached to Tahiri through the forest, and for an instant met a wall as hard as the stone of the temple. Then she reached back, and they clicked as if they had never been apart, so intensely that it actually frightened him. They fell in a sort of acrobatic dance, Anakin using the force to slow Tahiri's fall, and she slowing his as they spun around a common fulcrum somewhere between them. Like two children, clasping hands and leaning back, turning around on their feet. If either let go, the other would go whirling off out of control. An old game, one they had invented long ago. He noticed something was falling with them, a pair of glop grenades. He sent them humming back up the shaft and out the hole he had cut. The two young Jedi touched down feather light on top of the turbolift. "Wow," Tahiri said. "It's been a long time since we did that. That was terrific. And the way you got the grenades, too. That was art. The car of the lift suddenly started again. Desperately, Anakin cut into the power couplings and superconductor casings in the walls. The lift jarred to a stop. Meanwhile, Tahiri sliced into the roof of the car itself and jumped back in case there was blaster fire. But there was none. "I don't feel anyone on the lift," Tahiri said. "No. I sent it down to the third hangar level below the temple. I think Valen and Sana got off, and then someone called it back up. Probably someone on the ground level. Judging by our drop, we're probably somewhere between..." An explosion 6 meters above him cut him off as one of the outer lift doors blew in. "There's the ground floor right there," Anakin said. "Come on." He jumped down into the car. With his lightsaber, he cut through the car and the wall beyond, revealing an underground hangar that hadn't been used since the battle against the first Death Star. "You blocked their shots," Anakin told Tahiri. As bolts rained down and Tahiri deflected them, Anakin cut the fail-safe magnetic bolts that had locked the turbolift in place. He flicked off his lightsaber. "Cut your lightsaber now, but quick." She did, flattening against the lift walls as blaster fire poured through the hole above them. Another grenade plinked against the lift floor. "There. Throw that back at them," Anakin said. The grenade whizzed back up the hole. "Why didn't you do it?" Tahiri asked. "Because I'm holding the lift car up." Above them, the glop grenade went off, and Anakin let gravity have the car. It dropped like a stone. "Remember to jump up just before we hit bottom," Anakin gritted, as the lift hurled down through the layers of hangars and Misasi caverns below the temple. "Somebody wasn't paying attention in physics lectures," Tahiri said. "Nope. Mind the roof." And then they did jump, pushing away from the lift floor with the force, up through the jagged hole, into the turbolift shaft. Below them, the car hit bottom with a terrific din. Once again they drifted each other down upon it, but this time the car wasn't exactly level. It had wrenched the lowest doors from their hinges, and they were able to step through. The Rebel Alliance had converted square kilometers of Misasi caverns into hangars, but below that there were chambers and caverns more or less untouched. The turbo lift went down only as far as the Alliance had used the caverns. After that it was stairs, winding corridors, and secret panels. "They'll look up there first," Anakin said. "They'll think we went through into the hangar where I cut the wall. By the time they think to look down here... In fact, hang on." He activated his wrist comm. "Fiver?" "Affirmative." Fiver's response scrolled across the small display. "I need you to fly the X-Wing out of the hangar. Avoid all pursuit until I call you again. Got that?"
"Affirmative."
"Good luck, Fiver," Anakin whispered. After a long descent, Anakin stopped in front of a blank wall. "Remember this?"
"Is Dagobah up to its neck in mud?"
Tahiri pushed a patch in the wall, and it swung open. The two stepped through and closed it behind them. Anakin felt around in the rocks and came up with one of the two glow lamps that were usually secreted there. "Master Ikrit has already been here," he murmured. with Valen and Sanna.
Yeah, I can feel them. That was, good back there,
Anakin admitted. Where did you get the lightsaber?
Anakin Solo. You don't think I can build a lightsaber?
I didn't say that. I just didn't think right.
You didn't think.
And you're still not thinking. And you'd better fix that before you say anything else. Now, let's find Master Ikrit. The pungent, rotten egg scent of sulfur would have led them to their destination if their memories had not. Ikrit, Valen, and Sanna sat on the edges of an underground hot spring, just outside of a shaft of light that fell from 100 meters or more above, where some long-ago force, natural or artificial, had cut through the soft stone.
"I've never seen it in daylight," Tahiri murmured.
When they were younger, they had come here with Cam and Tion, to drift in the warm water and turn from inward to outward in the Force, to contemplate the stars above and the person within. It was a place all the students knew, but which was never spoken of to anyone else.
"Good that you have come," Ikrit sighed.
"You knew I would," Anakin said.
"Yes. Still, it is good."
"What will we do now?" Valen asked. He was trying to look brave, but Anakin could feel his fear. "Now? You guys will keep waiting here. It should be safe enough. I'm going to climb up there."
Tahiri elbowed Anakin in the side.
"I mean," he corrected, "Tahiri and I will climb up there while we have light to see by. Then we'll hide until dark and commandeer one of their ships, one big enough for all of us."
"And small enough to bring down here," Tahiri added.
"Right. There's a light transport I think might fit the bill."
"Do you remember the way up?" Tahiri asked.
"You two did this before?"
Ikrit asked.
"Climbed up to the surface from here?"
Yes, Anakin replied. "When we were bored, once."
"I thought I always had my eye on you," Ikrit said. "I must be getting old."
Somehow the Jedi Master looked old, older than Anakin had ever seen him. He sounded old, too. "Are you ill, Master Ikrit?"
"Ill? No. Sad."
"Sad at what?" Ikrit ruffled his fur.
"It is inappropriate, my sadness. It is nothing. Go, succeed as you always do. Remember—"
Ikrit paused, then began more strongly in a voice that made Anakin feel suddenly that he was 11 again.
"Remember, you two are better than the sum of your parts. Together you two could—"
He paused again.
"No, enough. I've said enough. Together, that's the important thing. Now, go."
They reached the top by nightfall and took shelter in a small cavern just under the lip of the pit. It was a tight fit, but impossible to see unless you were hovering right in front of it. They sat shoulder to shoulder, breathing deeply and working the cramps from their muscles.
"You thought I was going to mess things up," Tahiri said suddenly.
"What brought that up?"
"There hasn't been time to talk about it until now."
"Well, keep your voice down. It's not exactly the brightest thing for us to be talking."
"We'll feel them in the Force long before they hear us."
"Unless they have Yuuzhan Vong with them. You can't feel them in the Force."
"Really? Is that true?"
"Yeah."
"So?"
"So what?" Tahiri punched his shoulder lightly.
"So you thought I was going to mess things up,
get us all caught?"
"I didn't say that." "No, of course not. Wouldn't want to upset baby Tahiri."
"Tahiri? Now you're acting like a kid."
"No, I'm not.
I'm acting like someone whose best friend has completely forgotten she exists."
"That's ridiculous, is it? When you left the academy with Mara, did you even bother to say goodbye? And since then, have you sent me a single message, or even reached out in the Force? And just a while ago, when we did our old falling dance, You didn't like it. I almost had to catch myself.
You're the one who resisted, Anakin said. We were falling like rocks, and you resisted me.
That was you, you big dumb Gundark.
That's crazy. You... But the whole scene flashed suddenly through his mind again. Maybe it had been him. When he and Tahiri worked together, it was sometimes hard to tell who was feeling what.
See?
She said frostily. Anakin was silent for a moment, and so, miraculously, was Tahiri.
I did miss you, Anakin finally said. No one knows me the way...
He broke off.
Right, Tahiri said. No one knows you like I do, and you don't want anyone to. You want to keep all of that stuff in you, where no one can touch it. Chewbacca, even last time you were here, you wouldn't talk about him. Now you pretend you're past it.
And the thing at center point, you're right, Anakin said. I don't want to talk about that. Not right now. Tahiri's shoulders began to shake just a little, and Anakin realized she was crying.
Come on, Tahiri, he said. What are we, Anakin? A year ago you were my best friend in the world.
We're still best friends, he assured her.
Then the way you treat your other friends must really stink.
Yeah, Anakin admitted. Almost without thinking, he reached for her hand. For a few seconds, she didn't respond. Her fingers were cold and motionless in his, and he suddenly believed he had made some kind of mistake. Then she gripped back, and warmth rushed around him like a whirlwind. She nodded her head over onto his shoulder, still weeping, and silence folded around them again. But this time it was an easier silence, not happy or even quite content, but easier. After a while her breathing became regular, and Anakin realized she was asleep. By the faint orange light of the gas giant outside, he could make out traces of her features, so familiar and yet somehow different. It was as if, below the girl's face he had always known, something else was pushing up, like mountains rising, driven by the internal heat of a planet. Something you couldn't stop, even if you wanted to. It made him want to hang on and run away at the same time. And in a mild epiphany he realized he had felt that way for some time. As children, they had been best friends, but neither of them was a child anymore. Not exactly. His arm had gone numb from her weight, but he couldn't bring himself to shift, for fear of waking her. Anakin woke Tahiri an hour before the orange planet set. The sun was not yet out.
It's time, he said. Good, Tahiri mumbled. It's getting cramped in here.
She shifted into a crouch.
Are the others still okay?
I haven't heard or felt anything. Are you ready?
Ready as rockets, hero boy.
Carefully they climbed from the pit and padded through the jungle. The spicy scent of bruised blue-leaf shrubs suggested a lot of searching had been done in the area, but for the moment it was quiet. Anakin and Tahiri made it to the ship landing clearing without incident.
I like that one,
Anakin whispered, pointing at a light transport a little apart from the rest.
I don't think I'll have trouble flying it, and we can get it down the pit. You're the captain, Captain.
Anakin peered more closely at the ship and then began sneaking across the clearing. A guard several hundred meters away glanced in their direction, but it took only a faint suggestion to turn Anakin and Tahiri into shadow and planet light. They found a guard in front of the ship, too, sitting on the open ramp. He came quickly to his feet when they saw him. "You're needed around the other side of the temple," Anakin told him with a slight wave of his hand. The fellow hesitated an instant, scratching his chin.
"I'm needed elsewhere," he allowed.
"I'll go, then. See you later," Anakin said as the man started away, pace quickening as he went.
"What the?"
A young man's face stuck around the corner. He looked as if he had just awakened. Seeing Anakin and Tahiri, the fellow's eyes went wide and he reached for his blaster. He stopped, with the snap hiss of Anakin's lightsaber igniting, probably because the glowing purple tip was centimeters from one of his gray eyes.
"Easy," Anakin said.
"Hey," the fellow said. "I'm always easy. Ask anyone. Would you, mind getting that a little farther from my face? You have restraining cuffs here somewhere? Maybe?"
Anakin shrugged.
"I can cut your arms off and get more or less the same effect. In the locker over there," the fellow said, pointing.
"Get them, Tahiri."
"What's your name?"
"Remus.
Remus Venn."
"You pilot this thing?"
"Sure."
"Any surprises I need to know about before I fly her?"
Venn winced as Tahiri pulled his arms back and snapped them into cuffs.
"Not that I can think of," he said.
"Good.
I'll keep you aboard, though. If any occur to you, let me know."
Anakin shut his lightsaber down, made his way to the controls, and looked them over. They weren't that different from those on the Millennium Falcon, his father's ship.
Then cleared his throat.
"I just remembered. Before you engage the repulsor lift, you have to enter a clearance code."
"Really?
Or what happens? The cabin will sort of electrify."
"I'm glad you remembered that," Anakin said dryly.
"The code, please."
Then recited it while Anakin entered it. Then the young Jedi turned back to his captive.
"Let me explain something to you," he said. "My name is Anakin Solo, and this is my friend Tahiri Vela. We are Jedi Knights, some of the people you came here to betray to the Yuuzhan Vong. If you lie to us, we'll know it. If you try to keep something from us, we'll find it out. The only uncertain factor is how much we'll have to damage you to do so."
Venn snorted.
"They were right, you Jedi and your high-minded ideals. It's all smokescreen."
Anakin shot him a withering glance.
"Next time I'm trying to capture children for Yuuzhan Vong sacrifices, I'll be sure to have a talk about high-minded ideals with you. Until then, or until you have something useful to say, you keep your garbage locks cycled shut."
He turned back to the controls. "Hang on, Tahiri. This might go a little rough until I get the feel of it. And pay attention to Venn. If you feel the slightest twinge from him, dig it out."
"Yes, sir, Captain Solo."
Anakin engaged the repulsor lifts, and the ship began to rise. Before he closed the ramp, he heard someone shouting outside.
"Call out to Master Ikrit," Anakin told Tahiri. "Use the Force to let him know we're coming."
"And it's going to be tight," he finished to himself.